And they're on.
The Cheltenham Show.
On Off the Ball.
With Kildare Village.
Where there's something extraordinary every day.
All right, you're very welcome along to day two of our Cheltenham Show. And, well, I don't know how you got on yesterday, but I hope you did a little bit better than we did here in the office. We're going to be here with you every day at around about 11:30. Either picking over the carcass of the day before or celebrating wildly. We have our usual duo, dynamic as they are, in Cheltenham. Johnny Ward, good morning to you.
Good morning to all.
How was your day yesterday?
It was all saved by S4 Dalen, thankfully. Other than that, it was pretty much a bloodbath. Benny Dedieu was, I mean, how could you even believe what you were seeing with the echoes of Annie Power? And obviously, unfortunately, Ballywar suffered a fatal injury in the last, having made two mistakes. And prior to that, I had a few duds. So I'm very thankful for Gavin Cromwell to keep the show on the road. And a long way to go, 3 days to go. And today has to be better for everyone, I think, because it really, yesterday was not particularly good. And just, I'm really glad that S4 Dalen did the job.
It doesn't have to be better. That's why the bookmakers always win, because it literally doesn't have to be better. We could have just as bad
today
a day today again.
Has to be better.
Yeah, it has to be. It doesn't have to. John Duggan, you were being hard on yourself this morning. Have you come to see that actually yesterday wasn't a bad day when you ended up in profit? That is your maxim after all.
I wasn't a prophet.
Oh, you weren't?
No. I only had the one winner, Duke de Geneva, at 7-1. But I had two fathers, Benny de Geneva, Atlanta Blaze, and a two horses I should have put in that I didn't put in. So I'm slightly in loss, but it wasn't a disaster. I was given 500 for charity, about 312 at the moment. So, look, I've got a grand to make up, but it's not the end of the world. It could have been a wipe out. It wasn't.
Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. That's my dodgy maths. I apologise for that. It was a good day for Rachel Blackmore yesterday. She was on last night with Joe talking about the excitement of her first winner at Cheltenham. Have a look at this.
Getting winner in Cheltenham is, you know, it's something every jockey aspires to do. And it's an incredibly hard week to achieve that. So, no, look, it's fantastic.
Talk us through the race. I mean, it started well and it finished well.
Yeah, The winning jockey will always say the race went well. You know, the horse was, you know, his form had really backed up earlier in the day with Duke de Geneva winning the Arkle. So, you know, he should have been able to do that in that fashion, and it's just fantastic that he did.
What's the feeling afterwards? I mean, you're having this fantastic season, 84 winners, and you're fighting hard for the champion jockey crown here in Ireland. I presume it's a bit different though. There's an extra buzz. I don't know, are there family members over or who you go to, or is it just so quick that you're into the next race?
Yeah, look, Cheltenham is different. You know, there's a serious atmosphere there. It's kind of what National Hunt Racing is, you know, what everyone's aiming for in the National Hunt game all season. So it's, you know, it's all about Cheltenham, and it's just where everyone wants to be riding winners. So I'm just extremely grateful, you know, to Henry de Bromhead for giving me the opportunity to ride that lad today. And, you know, he's put a lot of faith in me this week. So delighted I could repay him.
Yeah, Johnny Ward, obviously Altior is the unbackable 5-2 on favourite in a race that Rachel Blackmore's running with another Henry de Bromhead horse, Ordinary World, a massive outsider in that race. I don't know, should we be looking at trainers and jockeys who are in form and trying to divine something from that?
Yeah, you really sound a bit desperate there, Ger.
Screw you, buddy.
Okay, obviously Altior should win this race. I mean, you would basically get a 10% per minute return on your investment. Roughly, you're going to get 40% or a little bit more on your money over the course of 4 minutes or thereabouts, in all likelihood. But of course, things can go wrong. He did jump a little bit left at Ascot last time, which is the first time that he's shown any sort of kink that you could talk about. That sort of jumping won't matter at Cheltenham because you're turning left the whole way, basically. But he should win. Having said that, you know, if you take him out, you have 8 runners, so you could completely ignore Altior, and then you'd have a very sharp price favourite in Min. Min without Altior is probably trading something like
6-4 on.
Yeah, maybe he might get a little bit better than that. So if you want to ignore Altior in this race, you can just take him out of it and have an eight-runner race with Min as a short price favourite and look at each-way bets in. Like Castle Grace Paddy, who for me is going to run a good race today, and I think he could finish in the top four. If you shop around, Castle Grace Paddy could be a bit of a 2-to-1 chance to finish in the top four. And then if you were to ignore Altior in that particular sort of eight-runner race that I spoke about, you know, you might get him at something like 12, 14 to 1 each way. So there are other avenues in the race if you don't like to back a 2 to 5, or otherwise you could just back the winner, which would be Altior.
Yeah, okay, that's not up for debate in any way. You just think that Altior is an all-time great. We were talking about this earlier on with John Duggan on OTBM this morning. It's Big Bucks was the last horse to win 18 in a row.
Yeah, it's incredible going, really, because he's done it in a manner that is sort of misleading. If you've not seen Altior run before, and you take the odds, there's a chance about four furlongs out where you'll be thinking, oh my God, what have I let myself in for here? The strain of having backed an odds on shot that looks like he's going to be beaten. But don't get worried, because Altior just finds another gear. He's beaten Min by the same margin, I think it's 6 or 7 lengths, one or the other, each time he's raced against him. 12 months ago here, he looked in big trouble before the second last, and he ended up devouring the hill. So this race course is absolutely made for him. Ground would be absolutely perfect for him as well. I spoke to Patrick Mullins this morning. They did a little tactical adjustment with Mellon yesterday in the Champion Hurdle, and it really paid off because the horse outran his odds to finish second, and it obviously didn't really help after Jade, which is another matter. But in any event, I was kind of saying to him, you know, is there anything that you could do with Min to change tactics that he might actually beat Altior the third time they meet? And I wouldn't be surprised if they tried something different, if they just let Altior go on earlier and try to track him and use up Min's toe, because Min is a very good horse, but probably clutching at straws.
Yeah, okay. John, it sounds like this is actually really just a race for people to enjoy, to sit back, relax, watch an all-time great performing at the peak of its power.
Forget about the betting for once in this race. Yes, absolutely. This is about Altior being a great champion chaser, winning that 18th start in a row, and being a dual champion chaser, and winning the festival for the third year in a row. Just watch Equine Beauty. That's what we're here for, as well as the odds and trying to find out how Ireland are going to do, and see the great storylines like Rachel Blackmore yesterday. And that's for Adam, for Gavin Cromwell. So this is about Altior winning. I mean, I would be very disappointed if something goes wrong. Of course, it happened to Bouvard there yesterday. It's happened before. It happened to Duvan a couple of years ago in this race. Just hopefully Altior will do himself justice, and hopefully Min will make a race of it. It's between the two of them. I can't see really anything else regarding the storyline at this one.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. I want to talk about the bumper, because it's obviously a race that a lot of people have had significant interest in for a long period of time. Johnny, traditionally a race that the Irish do very well in. What do you like in the bumper today, and what are the storylines that we're going to be talking about afterwards?
There are a few storylines, really. I spent some of the morning on a panel with Patrick Mullins and Lisa O'Neill, who rides in the race. Now, she is an interesting rider, and Abigail Barbas, who essentially was taken out of the race by Envoy Allen. It was quite aggressive riding, maybe, by Jamie Codd at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. And Lisa's mount, Abigail Cadabras, ended up basically running out through the rail. And if you read that in your paper today, you could be thinking, well, that horse is a bit of a rogue. Like, I can't even trust him to stay in the track. But there's a lot more to it than that. The horse had a pretty checkered passage on that occasion. And I don't particularly like backing short price in this race. I don't think it's a very natural race in terms of where these horses are going to be running for the rest of their careers. It's a messy race. So Abracadabras could actually reverse that form. But the other narratives, Meticulous, written by Dunico O'Brien, who, of course, we had on the show there not that long ago, and we had his trainer Joseph on the show as well. There was never any mention of Dunico riding this horse, which is fascinating. He's obviously a flat rider riding against the Jumps boys here. Then we have Blue Sari, who looks like he's going to go off favourite. He's a 4-year-old, so Patrick Mullins, whether he wanted to or not, cannot ride this horse. Wouldn't do the weight. Barry Geraghty rides a lot of positive reports about him. Envoy Allen, a second favourite, the horse I mentioned earlier. He's unbeaten, runs for Cheveley Park, and he costs an absolute fortune, but he looks like he's going to justify that. He's a very, very promising horse. But I'm going to go with maybe slightly left field one here, albeit he's actually third favourite, Ask for Glory. I've spoken about this horse since he won at Chepstow in December. I think he's just the form doesn't seem to amount to a great deal, but he absolutely bolted up. He looks a really, really promising horse. I love his stallion Fame of Glory. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, so he's not going to be siring that many more horses. But Harry Cobden, the boy Cobden, is well able to ride. Paul Nicholls hasn't had a winner yet, but his horse has been in excellent form. and I'm very sweet in this horse each way.
Okay, so Ask for Glory, around about 13-2 at the moment.
So
it's around about 13-2 at the moment.
Yeah, 13-2, 7-1, and it's been strong in the betting actually, because it's come in from about 12-14-1 the last few days.
Yeah, all right. So there's money for it, and it turns out that we were asking that question yesterday, John, if the surge of money towards a specific horse is worth noting, and it definitely was yesterday. There was a few big gambles landed where horses came in from 20-1 to 10-1 that ended up romping home. So, you know, your strategy of waiting until the last minute to see what the prices are is probably a good one.
Yeah, there was like a Plutar even was very strong in the betting that Rachel Blackmore rode, and it was obviously evidenced by the way that the horse just scampered clear up the hill. Ask for Glory, Paul Nicholls, when I was talking about the bumper at the Road to Gold Night in Cheltenham Racecourse on Sunday, he immediately kind of interrupted in a polite way and said, oh, what about Ask for Glory? So it's sometimes unusual that the British have the winner of the bumper. Willie's going for a 10th winner in it. I don't have a strong view on the race. I think it's a race I just want to watch. And Voyannon did win that race at Leopardstown, beat Meticulous, who had improved on his previous run. I think the O'Brien family meld here is obviously very interesting. You can't discount Joseph's other rudder, Sempo, who's been nibbled in the market to about 11-1. Envoy Adam for Gordon Elliott won the race. I mean, he did what he was needed to do. And Blue Sari is a very relaxed horse, according to Patrick Mullins. But four-year-old's got a poor record in the race. To me, this is a watch race. I'm going to watch the bumper. I don't have a strong opinion on it.
Okay, let's start going through the card. The 1:30, the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. At the moment, Champ 10-3, 7-2 in the betting. Battle Over Doyen 9-2, 7-2, depending on where you're looking at the moment. Brewing Up a Storm, holding steady at around about 7-1. And we had a shout for Brewing Up a Storm from Richard Johnson at the Road to Gold. Nathan was talking to him on Sunday night. He's on board Brewing Up a Storm, and he likes his mount. Other than that, really, we're looking at City Island, Easy Game. Sam's Profile, which is the mount of Brian Cooper, which he talked to us about a while back. As Nathan said to us as we were walking in here, he's got about four tips for the first race today. I haven't a clue what's going on. Too much information, I think. Johnny Ward, that's my problem.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, many's the time you go to the races and, you know, your mate say to you, right, that's, you give me word for the bumper. That's actually the fourth winner I have in the bumper. And horses are running the same race. And Coral Cup looks a bit like that today. So many in with chances. The first, I really like the first race, I have to say. It's intriguing. City Island is trained by Martin Brassel. He's a quiet man, but a smashing trainer. Sam's Profile is ridden by Brian Cooper from Mouse Morris. Now, what a story this would be, because Brian Cooper is obviously teaming up with Mouse Morris, both of whom can feel a little bit hard done by in terms of Michael O'Leary. First of all, sacking Brian Cooper as top jockey, and obviously Mouse Morris doesn't train senior horses for him anymore, despite winning a Gold Cup and a Grand National for him. So if they were to beat Battle Over Doyen, who's actually running in the O'Leary colours, that'd be a hell of a story, and it could well happen. I don't personally see it happening myself, but there are a lot of kind of twists and turns in the narrative here. I do like Battle Over Doyen and City Island. I'd have a few bob in each of them. Champ is obviously named after Tony McCoy. He's done very, very little wrong. He has to be respected. But I think Battle Over Doyen could be potentially special. And I think City Island has an excellent jumping technique and plenty of potential to put him bang there.
OK, we have Brian Cooper on Shot Clock tomorrow. And we've actually already recorded the piece. We recorded it in advance of today's racing. And he's got some news for us. Let's play you this here. We were talking originally about Sam's Profile. Have a look. All right, I'm delighted to say we've got Brian Cooper on the line. Brian, this Cheltenham Festival, I mean, we've been talking about it for months and months, and finally it's here. How are you feeling ahead of today?
Yeah, no, I've a nice ride today, Sam's Profile. Looking forward to him. I think he's definitely got a good each-way shout, and the more rain that's come, the better for him, and I think he's, you know, I'm looking forward to riding him.
Yeah, because you talked about him when we met a couple of weeks back at the Road to Gold event with Bulmers. You were like, even back then, you kind of had a bit of a fancy for him, but things have definitely come right in terms of the weather and the ground and everything. All the indications are that things are going to go well.
Yeah, no, as I said, everything has gone smooth so far, and so we'll be a lot wiser now, about 20 to 2 today now when we see the results.
Are you feeling a bit nervous ahead of this today? I mean, obviously, you know, everybody talks about it's the Olympics, National Hunt and all that kind of stuff, but it must feel different when you're actually in the build-up to it.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's kind of used to this year, because I was lucky to come, for the last number of years, I've come here with some very good rides, so it's kind of, you're just, once you're here now, you're in the mix of it. And as I said, the nerves, it's more kind of, you're just looking forward to getting on with it now and hoping everything goes right.
You're obviously in situation in case any other rides come up across the week as well. Is there any whisper of that happening for you yet?
It's funny there now. I got a phone call from Eddie O'Leary there just a minute ago to say a ride for them on Friday in the Albert Bartlett horse called Cap York. So it's my first ride for them in Cheltenham since I lost the job as well. So, you know, that you never know, that we could be rewriting the books here.
Ah, here, that's great news, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's great to be here, you know, once you're taking part. And says you can't be turning down rides here in Cheltenham either, you know.
A reminder, our Cheltenham show this week is brought to you in association with Kildare Village, home to leading menswear brands with savings up to 60% off the recommended retail price all year round, including sports brands such as New Balance, Under Armour and Puma. There you go, we're breaking news in the show. Cap York is going to be ridden for the O'Learys by Brian Cooper. That is, that'll be some comeback story, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, he does ride for them, obviously, now and then, since it was the Galway of what, 2 years ago when he lost the job as top jockey. But, you know, in fairness, they've invested a lot of faith in Rachel Blackmore, Jack Kennedy, Davy Russell, so on and so forth. The relationship between Cooper and Eddie O'Leary and Michael O'Leary wouldn't be anywhere near what it was. But, you know, they're very pragmatic businessmen as well in the way that they operate. They're quite fair, I would argue, as well. And Brian getting a ride on that, a horse that does have a glimmer of a chance as well. That race can be very attritional, can throw up some pretty odd results. What a story it would be if he were to win it. And great breaking story here today and off the ball.
There you go. John, what do you make of this whole first race today? You were talking yesterday about crossing horses off. What have you crossed off in this one?
I think Champ is a bit short of the prices for the fact that he's a Newbury winner who might be a bit keen. Battle Over Doyen, I think, will be a horse in time. Whether he's good enough to win it right now, I don't know. The money's come for Easy Game for Ruby Walsh, is into about 10-1. Also money for City Island, the one Johnny mentioned, into 8-1. Obviously, I think a lot of people are latching on to the Classical Dream on the first for Ruby and Willie yesterday. I only remembered after I did the off the ball AM slot that I actually put up a horse each way in this race, which was Willie's Castleborn West with Paul Townend for very small money each way. I put him up about 28-1. And the only reason I really did that, and I think sometimes you just have to just trust your own judgment, at Leopardstown at Christmas, I watched him beat, I think, the big dog, and they were miles clear of the remainder. Now, it was only maiden hurdle, but I was impressed by the way he finished his race. And I called and thought to myself, that's one for the future, Castleborn West. I liked his attitude, effectively, is what I'm saying. And I think that he could be a horse that could, might not have the class for these, but if he's better than the, you know, run suggests, then he could reach the frame. Because Classical Dream yesterday really did improve on what he'd shown. He won his both of his starts quite narrowly in Ireland. And then we got the soft round yesterday. He really stepped up and he won very easily. So I'm kind of probably thinking of the same lines regarding Castleborn West. I'm not put off that Paul Townend is riding it. And, you know, from that thing at Christmas, what I saw that race, that's one got me try on it.
All right, let's move on. The 10 past 2 Delta Work here is one of the most heavily tipped horses. Owen Sheehan's been polling all the tipsters all week, and Delta Work is into favouritism 9-4, Santini around 3-1, top of the game 7-2, and then big prices about all the rest of the horses in this field, and it's not a huge field. So, Johnny Ward, 10 past 2 today at Cheltenham for the RSA Insurance Novices Chase. What do you like?
I like Santini. He has had a slightly messy prep over the last week or two, but all seems to be well. He's been really strong in the betting this morning. Everything would seem to suggest that Connections are very confident that he'll won a big race. He ran a very nice race at the festival here last year. Beautiful, beautiful horse, absolutely designed for fences. He's been completely trained for this race. I suppose Delta Work has as well, or certainly for some time. I'm not as blown away by Delta Work maybe as some are. I think he's a solid chance, but I wouldn't be as confident as others who made him their banker of the week. For me, he did win a handicap at the festival last year. He was probably a bit lucky to beat Glenlow on that occasion. I'm not completely blown away by his actual form as a three-mile chaser, but in general, he jumps well. He is quite solid. I wouldn't be of the opinion that this is quite as much a foregone conclusion as betting suggests. There's only three of them, basically, in single figures. But I do think Santini is the horse beat and could well see him going off favourites.
Yeah, John Duggan?
Yeah, as I said earlier on, top of the game is my bet of the day and one of my bets of the week. And I really like the horse. I like the horse as a specimen. He's a huge horse. He's built for chasing. And Paul Nicholls improves these horses over time. And to me, he could be a Gold Cup horse next year. He travels beautifully. He was just narrowly beaten off in the Carl Cup. last year in the hurdle race and showed resolution up the hill. He was a better rated hurdler at the festival last year than Delta Work. He ran very well at Kempton in the big novices chase there, which was one of the big trials for this race. Now, he is a maiden over fences, but he should have won the race. He should have beaten Labago Wah, who went out and then slammed her rivals at Leopardstown. Harry Copton went too soon, and then half an hour later, he didn't go too soon on Clan des Oboe. He's a confident jockey. Paul Nichols is confident about his chances because I spoke to him the other night after the event, and he said, you know, that he kind of concurred, obviously, with the fact that I put up his own horse. Of course, everybody wants to believe that their own child or horse is the best in the business. But I think Top of the Game is a horse that I can see in the Gold Cup next year. And I think he might have the class to beat these rivals. There's Money for the World's End, who once again was not a bad hurdler, about 22-1. I'm just wondering if the ground is a little bit too soft for the World's End. But of the outsiders, he'd be the one as an outsider. But Top of the Game, I'm really confident about. I'm sticking my colours to the mast, and I hope he'll win, and I think he will win.
OK, so let's move on then. We've picked that one for Top of the Game for you, for John. 250 at Cheltenham, it's the Carl Cup Handicap Hurdle. You mentioned earlier on that there's anyone could be a winner here, Johnny. That's the difficulty, and there's loads of people who are fancying Far Class around about 11-1, Kiltola Vic around about 12-1. There's big price horses with a big opportunity here.
I went through this race last night, and it's one of the most open races I think I've seen at Cheltenham. Seven is the field, but there are so many horses on Past Glories that you could give major, major chance, and even horses with potential as well. You look at Diamond Couchois, you know, he's a horse who certainly could be interesting on his form of last season. Cracking Smart, he was favoured for the Albert Bartlett before he got injured last season. Barclay, similar price, same kind of profile as Carlito Brigante, same connections, won this race a few years ago as a five-year-old. Then you have Canardier, trained by Dermot McLaughlin, who's very highly regarded. I think Robbie Dunn will suit him. Tully East, very well handicapped on the pick of his form. Apple Shakira, sister to Apple Jade, who of course was such a highly touted juvenile last year. Bally Andy was such a big player in the Supreme not so long ago. Dancing on My Own, he's formed that ties in with Classical Dream. And that's not to mention the first three in the betting, which are Eurodale, Bioconti and Klotovic. I'd be worried about the ground for Eurodale if it's very soft. I think he should be able to get away with it. That is my concern. I think on nice ground, he'd be a much shorter fancy, shorter price rather. I do think he's won a big race, so he's well handicapped on his platform. Nice prep for this at Leopardstown. It's just if he will get away with the ground, that's my main concern.
Okay, so this is kind of a race not to get involved in, or are you saying a tentative small wager on Eurodale?
No, I'd back Eurodale each way. You know, you should get some fairly decent each way terms with the bookmakers, and I wouldn't put anyone off him. I'd just maybe watch what the jockeys say about the ground, because it'll be a little bit different from yesterday. It's dried out a bit, and if he gets away with the ground, he's by to my mind anyway, he's by far the most likely winner. But that would be the small concern. But it's not a big stakes race.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, this is a race where you're looking for the best value odds, really. Try and get as many places as you can from bookies. Some bookies are going to 7 places, some are going to 6. So try and get as many each way odds. I had the winner of this race 14 years ago at 33-1, made my festival. So it is possible that dreams can happen and you can get your transatlantic flights out of this race. But on the whole, you're probably not going to get it. I've gone for Kulutovic. Beat Thistlegrack in a grade one hurdle at Punchestown. Was touted for the Gold Cup last year, but doesn't jump fences well enough. Is a course and distance winner, I think. He won the Martin Pipe, I think, over a furlong shorter a few years ago at the festival. So, to me, he's done it. I think he's probably a little bit underrated over hurdles. He was, what, third behind Presenting Percy last time out. She got Paul Tannen in the saddle, who has won the race, I think, before. And I think Kulutovic at about 12-1 is my each-way selection in the race. I would also not put people off Scarpetta, who ran very well here behind Sam Crow in the festival last year. Danny Mullins is reunited with Scarpetta. It does fit the trends, this horse. It's about 22-1. And I wouldn't once again put people off Scarpetta based on Horses for Courses ran well at the festival last year. But this is a race, really, maybe you should be going into a darkened room and coming out 10 minutes later.
Okay. Let's move on. 4:10, Cheltenham. It's the Glenfar Class Chase. And here we're talking about Tiger Roll. Tiger Roll, obviously, completely unfancied last time out and completely pissed it, I think, is the technical term, is in as short as 6-5. 6-4 in places. It's a short price, Johnny. It's a great horse, short price.
It is a short price, yeah. I was taking him on earlier on in the day with Hurricane Darwin, who now doesn't run in the race. And in fairness, Tiger Roll has gone out a bit, but as much as
horses take to this course. It's still a bit of a mad race to be taking a price of around about 11 to 8 on a horse, who obviously did win the race last year. So I don't know. I'd still be pretty reluctant to back him. I'd be looking at each way horse in the race, like Josie's Orders, and probably Over and Yat would be my main selection. Obviously, he's a fascinating runner because he won the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown, and he filled fourth spot in this race for the last 2 years. So he does have back form in it. I think he's definitely primed to run a big race, and he looked better than ever, in fairness, at Leopardstown. And it's mad when you think of In the Buzzer's dominance in this race, that he's kind of just filled some of the, I suppose, the small letters in the paper, because it's all been about Tiger Roll. He's a remarkable, remarkable horse. 9 years of age, won here as a four-year-old, then won the National Hunt Chase, won this race last year, won the Grand National, and then won a Grade 2 at 50-1 or whatever it was at Navan. He's an incredible horse, but I just wouldn't be mad at him at 6-4, and I'd probably back Over and Yat each way, and he can get Into Bulger back in the headlines.
Yeah, Over and Yat into 11-2 at the moment. John Duggan, are you opposing Tiger Roll as well?
I'm opposing him based on the price, Jared, but I wouldn't lay him. I think they're two different things. I wouldn't lay him on a betting exchange, for example. I wouldn't take that risk. But I don't fancy Over now, because I backed Over now at the last 3,000 runnings of this race, and he never seems to find a turn of foot. It's all horses for courses and different opinions, and everybody's got a different opinion. That's the great thing about it, and that Johnny was right yesterday in the big race. Urgent to Gregan is attracting money into 10-1. This was second to Tiger Roll last year, so we do know it acts around the track. But once again, this is not a betting race for me. It's a bit of a carnival, really, in the middle of the race course. And, you know, you can have horses brought down and horses going the wrong way. And this, I remember, even like, remember Gard Champette a few years ago, thought she was absolute certainty, Nina Carberry. And then she was hampered at a very bad, I think she might have unseated or something. I can't remember exactly what happened, but she was cruising in the race. And it's just not a race I like. It also turns into a sprint. They'll all bunch up. It'll turn into a sprint. That's why Tiger Roll won it last year so easily. He's hard to oppose, but not at the price.
Yeah, too short, unless you're, you know, rich. Let's move on. We've just done the 4:10, so the final race that we've talked about, because we've already talked about the bumper, is going to post at 10-5. And we have, again, this is the Boodle Juvenile Handicap Hurdle, a big L field and some big prices about the at the top of the betting. Band of Outlaws leads the betting at the moment, into 5-1 from 7-1 this morning. 8-1 is CL Dinej, also a bit of a gamble on that, in from 16-1. That's Ruby Walsh and Willie Mullins. And then Lethal Steps is Davy Russell for Gordon Elliott at 9-1 as well. Johnny, I don't know what the hell's going on here. What information have you got for us?
Yeah, like, if in doubt, back the favourite. This is my nap of the day, Band of Outlaws. I think he'd won very well in the Triumph if he were to go into the race. He was a classy horse in the flat over 7 furlongs and a mile. A lot of the time, horses of that profile, they simply don't stay over hurdles. But this horse stays no problem at all. He won at Naas last time, showing a remarkable turn of foot. Won at Limerick the time before after a nice start over hurdles at Cork. He is basically a graded horse running a handicap here, and I think he's a massive, massive chance.
Okay, so that's the Joseph O'Brien horse, JJ Slevin on board, into 5-1, and Johnny reckons Band of Outlaws is a good chance. John, what have you got for us in this one?
Got trumped at about 22-25-1. Jessica Harrington, met her last week for an interview, and she said, give me an each way one, and she gave me that each way. And then I looked into the form of the horse. The horse would prefer softer ground, which he's going to get. Met Kate Harrington this morning. There's a lot of stable confidence behind it. So they know the time of day. They don't come over here to Cheltenham unless they think they've got a horse with a chance. And on softer ground, where the horse has been running against, like the Triumph Hurdle horses, it might have an each-way chance. And once again, an open race. But Johnny could be right. Sometimes in racing, a 5-1 shot, like, look, if you look at Band of Outlaws now, could be the best 5-1 shot ever. And Tiger Roll could be the worst 6-4 shot ever. Just because of the 20 runners or whatever. Band of Outlaws was a very impressive winner the last day. He really just cruised clear. So if Johnny is right on this one, that 5-1 will look very, very tasty right now. So wouldn't put anybody off that. I think we saw that with a Plutar yesterday. Was a class above his rivals in that handicap chase, that novice's handicap chase. But the one I've gone for, my strategy today, a bit like yesterday, each way's got trumped Castlebourne West, Kultovic, but the big one top of the game.
All right, good stuff. John's tips are up on offtheball.com. We also have Owen Sheehan's work, where all of the various tipsters from the newspapers are all collated, so you can see exactly where the wise money is going. And there is John's tips in handy, shareable form. So that's up on our Instagram feed as well. If you want to get any more information across the day, you can follow us at Off The Ball on Twitter. And a reminder, of course, that the Cheltenham Show is brought to you in association with Kildare Village, home to leading menswear brands with savings of up to 60% off the recommended retail price all year round, including sports brands like New Balance, Under Armour and Puma. That's your lot for today. Happy punting. We'll be back tomorrow to celebrate or sift. It's your choice. Good luck.
And they're all.
The Cheltenham Show. On Off The Ball. With Kildare Village. Where there's something extraordinary every day.